Hey y'all, the OGs and new listeners alike. I am Randy, and this is a bonus indie episode. I know we said we would be dropping memory lane episodes leading up to season 4, but I needed to record and post this episode. Now, for those who don't know and need a reminder, indie episodes are individual episodes Mikey and I record. It's a way for us to show and honor who we are as individuals and not just who we are as spouses. And today I'm taking my turn to reveal myself.
Yeah. I'm sweating. Yeah. In 2010, thought I was doing something. And now I'm rapping with a crew or something. I guess the track don't really stick unless he's gluing something. And I never fit the shoe until I do or something. Yo, bracing myself like teeth, boy, it's the same old route on some new concrete. But homie, these tunes make you get a new ID. I'm trying to do my thing, but the commute ain't cheap. I'm on a 2-day week for all this rap these days. And we can still pitch the track to all the wack DJs. We're singing happy days, wearing tacky J's. And I'm just pumped that I made it out my nappy phase. Let's go.
We can turn the whole world around. I'm in the backseat, really trying to hold it down. And if you...
So what had happened was, I'm not okay, y'all. Today is December 7th, and by this point, Noble, our son, has been gone for 4 months and 12 days, if I count it right. And I started off doing fine today. I really did. I posted on social media. I cleaned the kitchen. I reached out to some friends, and that's when it all spiraled. One friend in particular has been especially loving and supportive since we lost Noble, and I checked in on her and my anxiety was through the roof. Honestly, I expected her to respond in this curt way, which she never has, but again, anxiety. And she was really happy to hear from me, and it was great. And I told her, you know, I've been so anxious about my connections with people, and from me just saying that, she peeped that I had been trying to alter my feelings and my grief to be more accommodating and to appear a certain way. She said, and this is a direct quote, she said, try to let that anxiety flow through you and wash away. You can't control how other people respond, but also you shouldn't alter your truth or your feelings. People who love you will always be there. Have peace knowing that who is meant to be in your life will be. And I realized I have not been moving that way, at least not consistently. Since Noble died, I've been manipulating my feelings and essentially the people around me because I don't want to be loved by anyone. And I have not trusted that the people who leave me because of my grief aren't actually for me anyway. And that includes our listeners. I haven't wanted to be loved because this loss has been so colossal that I'm just tired. And I really could go the rest of my life not losing another thing. Because this loss has unraveled me and I really am completely undone and I'm afraid to lose again because of how losing changes me, and it has caused me, this fear of losing has caused me to hold on to everything, including things and people and imagined scenarios I need to let go. I see how grief makes people uncomfortable, and I see how our grief makes people uncomfortable, and I see how people run away from the disturbing realizations that grief incites, like infant and child loss can happen to anyone. Deep grief will happen to everyone, and in my ploy to be accommodating and to look evolved and superhuman and to look like grief has not put me on my ass, I have been lying, because the truth is I am not okay. And what triggered this episode on top of the conversation with my friend earlier was posting online today. So December 6th, I got in our stories and I attempted to explain how challenging it was to reengage with people. What I wanted to say was, I'm afraid. Y'all fell in love with the couple and a Randy who does not exist anymore and who is never coming back. And I don't know what to say anymore. Please don't leave. But what I said was something jumbled and inarticulate, in my opinion. So I attempted to make up for it today, which is December 7th. And I put a question in the stories like, send us your good news. And I mentioned how we went to a wedding and how lovely it was. But after I posted it, I felt really ill after that. Like I felt like sick to my stomach. But what made it like topple over and come spilling out in like this deep like crying session was Mikey came to me and he was like, Ran, I think you're doing so great. You're doing so much better than me. You're trying to be engaged with people and it's helping me. And did you see what I posted in our stories? And I just looked at him and I said, Mikey, I feel like shit. And he was like, well, you know, what do you mean? I don't understand. And I told him, I feel like shit because I'm lying. I haven't said what I really want to say. And I recognize that every time I apologize for the awkward grief moments or try to turn a sad moment into a happy one, I hear the inner child in me, my shadow, and the mama in me screech. And collectively, all these people that make up who I am are all yelling, why are you lying? Why do you keep ignoring us? We are not okay. We are not okay. You are not okay. And I am not okay. I'm not okay. And I don't understand why my water broke weeks before it was supposed to and why no one can tell me anything. They poked and prodded me so much. I had so many pap smears, so many blood drawn, so many urine tests, so many pulse checks. No one can tell me anything. Technically, I'm healthy, you know. I don't know why the doctors only thought I would last 3 days without water in my sac, but I lasted 31 days. And I don't know why I was able to make it that far and only needed to stay pregnant for 6 more days, but couldn't. I don't understand why God said no and why, you know, I couldn't get, you know, the miracle I prayed for exactly the way I wanted it. And I don't understand why all these people with all these babies get to keep having babies. And why do these kids get to keep having living siblings while mine doesn't? And why do two people who keep showing up in their marriage doing this hard ass work keep losing babies? And I find myself asking, where is my baby? Where is my baby? It's unfair. And I am so angry and filled with so much shame about the shit I used to care about before losing Noble. We did a whole episode on being like unfollowed. And I just really can't believe how fucking stupid. Like I feel so stupid and small and insignificant and I'm scared. And I've really been scared shitless since July. And I also understand like who wouldn't be scared when time of death is called on the baby. Like that's some scary shit. Yeah, you're scared. And I keep trying to remind myself of that because I am scared. And it was really sobering that all that work and all that love and all that baby is just gone. Ashes. We have him home, but he's in an urn. And he is still teaching me and revealing myself to me, like all the babies do if you let them. And Noble is teaching me that I have to get real. He is teaching me that perfectionism did not and is not saving me. This image I insist on maintaining is killing me. And on the days where I'm really not okay, that's gonna have to be okay. And I've been in deep denial, y'all. I've been running from the truth. And I really may run again. But today, I told myself that I would tell the truth and that I would not take it back. I will tell the truth and I will not take it back. Because I always take it back. When things get too hot and too hard, I take it back. But I can't anymore. Even though just as grief has revealed me to me, it has also revealed people to me. For one, I can tell we're all grieving. Everybody's grieving. Everybody's lost something. And we're all grieving. And yet no one really wants people to do it or to confess to it, which is just really sad. And I also heard about so many comments under Chrissy Teigen's post that she talks about Jack, and she lost Jack at 20 weeks, and how mean people were and are. People wondering why she's taking pictures and why she's always talking about it. And it's like, until you've lost a baby, you do not understand how important those pictures are. We have the same pictures, you know, we just haven't posted them. And that's mainly for my own anxiety. We've shared pictures of him with our family and our closest friends and our patrons when they signed on for our call on Monday that we had weeks ago. Because it just feels too precious to just have him out there. But that's us, you know, and I completely understand why bereaved parents share what they share or don't share what they share. And just as people have said awful things to her and other people going through loss, we've had some awful things said to us in our grief and about our grief. And it hurts almost as much as the loss. And who wants to keep hurting, right? Nobody wants to keep hurting. So I have taken to hiding, and I only pop up when I can put on a brave face. But that's not even working anymore. Because this stuff finds you. It would just find you in the middle of the store, in the middle of a conversation. It's just, it's always there. And I'm realizing, and I keep realizing that I have to acknowledge it and admit it and accept it. And I'm really struggling with accepting that this is where I am right now. And yes, I'm in therapy, and yes, I have a community, and it is actually my community and my therapist who has encouraged me to show up as myself. And I see so often people think that one of the things I constantly hear and see in the comments, and people just be subtweeting or, you know, posting, y'all need to just stop treating social media like your diary. Go get a therapist. And believe it or not, most of the people y'all see on here being honest about what's real, like what's really going on in real humans' lives, they are in therapy. They are in therapy. They aren't lacking friends or a diary or a journal. They are in therapy and are doing the deep work to show up for real. And if it makes you uncomfortable, if their grief, my grief, our grief makes you uncomfortable, welcome to the club. Because I'm uncomfortable too. I am deeply, deeply, often deeply disturbed by how human I am. But I hear this is where the healing is. And people who love me keep telling me I have to accept this grief and myself as I am right now so I can function. The only problem is the grief really doesn't stop. And I really want it to stop because it hurts. It hurts. I wish I had another testimony. I wish that the pregnancy was hard for a reason. I wish that at the end of all of that, all the fear and the sitting in bed and the blood and the waiting and the sacrifice and the pain resulted in a living baby who was still alive. I wish I didn't lose Noble. And so self-pity and shame tells me that I've ruined my family and our podcast. My ego tells me I'll never perform or be okay ever again. But, and this is what has given me the courage to do this episode. I wonder, what if that's not true? What if all my fears aren't true and I just have to confess them for me to see that I am not over? Finally, I'll leave you with this. Grief comes to one and all. No one is exempt. We must remember our dead. We must do better for the bereaved. We must embody compassion. To be redeemed, we must remember. Remembering is our duty and the only thing that will save us. This is by Dr. Joanne Cacciatore, who has written some really wonderful books about grief after experiencing her own loss. Her daughter was born, stillborn, at 38 weeks. And she's been featured on Oprah's and Harry's documentary style, like show, like miniseries. I haven't seen it. I've just read about it. The Me You Can't See. And I found her books to be very timely. And it's like, it really is like sitting with a friend who gets it. And I recommend it. And to close, this episode is for me and my inner child and anyone else out there grieving and lying about it. I pray you feel encouraged and empowered and less lonely by this indie episode. You are not alone, and I am deeply, deeply sorry for your loss. We can't always be love and light and faith and understanding. What we have experienced are tragedies, and they deserve their time. And I say this to myself first. This episode of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast was produced and edited by Randy Chapman at Wordy Productions. If this bonus episode touched you, email us at blackmillmare@gmail.com or leave a voice message at 770-750-4098. Be sure to check out our website, www.blackmillennialmarriage.com, and follow us on all social media platforms. On Instagram, we are Black Millennial Marriage. On Facebook, we are Black Millennial Marriage Podcast. As always, y'all, thank you for listening, and be blessed, and don't settle, and fight clean, and be honest about your grief. Peace. About time that I get back, yo, I'ma get back, we can hold it down. Oh God, I'ma get back, yo, I'ma get back, we can hold it down. This be the fourth year in the promised land, watch it, I promise, man, if you ain't looking close, we gon' look like an industry plan.